Don't overlook the boring fundamentals of managing autoimmune or chronic health conditions. Functional medicine is complex because no one pill for one symptom model exists to manage chronic gut health, hypothyroid, autoimmune, or other conditions. Instead, multiple systems in the body typically play a role. Though evidence-based, a non-pharmaceutical diet and lifestyle approach is not covered by insurance and does not require shopping for a life-changing product that will fix everything. Rather, it requires changes, work, and self-education on behalf of the patient. Many people are not willing to travel down the path of functional medicine until the pain of the problem outweighs the pain of the solution. The good news is that once the path is chosen, the results are often profound and lasting, and people finally feel they are in the driver's seat of their health. Although I go over these basics in all my courses, in this article, I cover what I call functional fundamentals basics you must implement regardless of your symptoms or conditions. These fundamentals are so unglamorous that they are easily overlooked. People who become well-versed in managing chronic health conditions can become exceptionally well-educated. I have learned much from my patients over the years and see that they can sometimes get lost in the weeds of the latest study or supplement. Even in my most educated and empowered patients, I often see these simple foundations go ignored. I'm not saying these basics will fix everything in everyone, however, they are essential to the chronic health puzzle. 1. Do you eat enough protein? One of the biggest mistakes I see people make is not eating enough protein. It is common for patients with food sensitivities and autoimmunity on limited diets to underconsume protein. Insufficient protein can make it impossible to rebuild intestinal cells, to heal leaky gut, or to recover tissue damaged by autoimmunity. Protein insufficiency is also linked to immune dysfunction, making it impossible to control autoimmunity over the long haul. Adequate protein intake is essential to provide the building blocks to help rebuild a leaky gut and recover from autoimmune damage to tissues. In more than 25 years of working with patients who suffer from leaky gut and autoimmunity, I can't begin to describe how futile efforts to recover were until they consumed adequate protein. How much protein is enough? Your ideal intake should be 0.36, 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight. Typically, it is suggested to use ideal body weight if you are overweight, but it may be appropriate for you to go higher than that, particularly if you've been undereating protein. There are roughly 7 grams of protein per ounce of meat. Here are some examples of protein content. For 0.6 ounces of salmon, 28 grams. 5 ounces of strip sirloin steak, 35 grams. 4 ounces of cooked, skinless chicken breast, 28 grams. Sources of protein. Protein from meat is more bioavailable and complete than protein from plants. Meat proteins are also more complete in terms of amino acids. Vegans and vegetarians need to consume more protein and pay attention to amino acid profiles, including leucine. I generally don't recommend plant proteins because they are immune reactive for many people with autoimmunity and leaky gut. Eggs and dairy are also commonly immune reactive. As with most diet-related issues, protein tolerance depends on the individual. If you significantly undereat protein, increase consumption gradually. You may need the aid of hydrochloric acid, digestive enzymes, and gallbladder support if you feel protein is difficult to digest. You may also need to be screened for an H. pylori infection, which is a common cause of low HCl or indigestion. See my gut health videos for more explanation. I don't recommend protein powders that contain whey, milk, soy, egg white, or pea because they are immune-reactive ingredients for many people with chronic health issues. Protein powders made from beef, collagen, or chicken may be more suitable. Again, this depends on the individual. While periodic fasting can help reduce inflammation in some people, I do not recommend it for those who have long been protein deficient until they rebuild their protein sufficiency and general resilience. Simply put, it is physiologically impossible to recover and restore proper immune function if you do not have the protein building blocks necessary for tissue and cell recovery and development. 2. Essential fatty acid diversity. Essential fatty acid balance is one of the most overlooked areas in managing autoimmunity, chronic health conditions, and repairing leaky gut. EFAs are converted to prostaglandins, which profoundly affect immune modulation. Industrialized vegetable oils and trans fatty acids promote the synthesis of pro-inflammatory prostaglandins and should be avoided. It is estimated that up to 80% of the U.S. population fails to get enough EFAs daily, which promotes chronic inflammation and immune dysregulation. EFAs are essential because the body cannot make them and must come from the diet. To promote healing of tissues, reduce inflammation, and modulate autoimmunity, you must ingest a balance of omega-3, omega-6, omega-9, and arachidonic acid fats. Fish oil is best if you have high blood sugar and insulin resistance. It's important to mention that insulin resistance plays a role in which omega-3 fatty acid sources are best for you, as many Americans are insulin resistant. You likely have insulin resistance if your fasting blood sugar is over 100 or your HbA1c is 5.6 or higher. In these cases, fish is the best source as insulin resistance can hinder the body's ability to convert alpha-linolenic acid, a type of omega-3 fatty acid found in plant sources like flaxseed, chia, walnut, and hemp seed into a more usable form. Eating a diet high in omega-6 fats may also hinder this conversion of ALA to omega-3s. Our hunter-gatherer ancestors ate about a 1-to-1 ratio of omega-6 fats to omega-3. Today, the average American eats a ratio of as high as 25-to-1, way too many omega-6 fats compared to omega-3 fats. This is due largely to sunflower, cottonseed, soybean, sesame, and canola oils in processed foods. This extreme imbalance between omega-6 and omega-3 creates a highly inflammatory environment that plays a role in many chronic conditions, including heart disease, diabetes, autoimmune disease, leaky gut, and brain degeneration. The best way to prevent or reverse this inflammatory environment is to increase your omega-3 fats and lower your consumption of omega-6. How much fish oil should you take? Since most people do not consume enough EFAs, I recommend supplementing with a high-quality fish oil. However, people who take fish oil commonly do not take enough. A healthy intake of omega-3 is 3,500 mg for a person eating 2,000 calories per day. If you eat 3,000 calories, you should take at least 5,250 mg of omega-3 oils daily. The average EFA capsule is 1,000 milligrams. That means if you eat 2,000 calories, you should take about 4 a day. If you eat 3,000 calories a day, you should take 5 to 6 capsules of fish oil daily. Algal oil supplements derived from algae are a good plant-based source of EPA and DHA. Of course, you can also eat fatty fish regularly and raw nuts and seeds if you tolerate them. EPA and DHA serve different functions. Most fish oil supplements have a 1:1 ratio of DHA to EPA. Both are important, but each has different functions in the body. EPA has more of an anti-inflammatory focus, while DHA has the greatest effect on brain health. If your goal is mainly to dampen inflammation, then regular fish oil or fish oil with concentrated EPA is appropriate. If your goal is to impact your brain health, then consider fish oil with a high concentration of DHA. Individuals with neurological imbalances derive more benefit when ratios of DHA to EPA are greater than 1:1. I like to use ratios greater than 10:1 or 20:1 of DHA to EPA. Omega-6 and omega-9 fatty acids. Omega-6 and 9 fatty acids are necessary for good immune health, though caution should be taken as overconsumption of omega-6 is pro-inflammatory. Cold processed rapeseed oil and flaxseed oil are good sources of omega-6. Omega-9 fatty acids are commonly found in olive and avocado oil. Arachidonic acid. Arachidonic acid is commonly vilified as pro-inflammatory, but we need it for healthy immune function. AA's reputation for being pro-inflammatory comes from the overconsumption of omega-6 fatty acids in the general population. Sources of arachidonic acid include fatty meats, shellfish, butter, and ghee. Many people with an intolerance to the dairy protein casein may nevertheless tolerate butter and ghee. Including diverse sources of these healthy fatty acids in your diet is critical to modulating inflammation and autoimmunity. 3. Blood sugar imbalances are a powerful trigger of inflammation. High and low blood sugar spikes can lead to systemic inflammation, immune flares, hormonal imbalances, and compromised brain function. Supporting balanced blood sugar is critical for recovery from any inflammatory condition. Many people with chronic health conditions have blood sugar that is too high, too low, or swings wildly between the two. Blood sugar that drops too low triggers inflammation. The biggest sign of a blood sugar imbalance is energy changes throughout the day. It should remain stable. One of the most common mistakes I've seen patients make is allowing their blood sugar to drop repeatedly. Feeling back to normal or energized after meals means you are letting your blood sugar drop too low. This can cause loss of function, low energy, and irritability. Each time this happens, you undergo a physiological stress response that triggers an endocrine response and inflammation. This makes it extremely difficult to manage chronic health and autoimmune conditions. Eat or snack frequently enough to avoid these drops in blood sugar levels. The best snacks and meals are centered around protein, fat, and fiber. Avoid sweets, fruits, and excessive carbohydrates, as these can cause blood sugar highs and lows. I realize this flies in the face of advice to avoid snacking and to intermittently fast, but in low blood sugar situations, it's more important to stabilize your blood sugar, energy levels, and neuroendocrine response. When high blood sugar and insulin resistance trigger inflammation. If your blood sugar climbs too high because you ate too much, you ate too many carbohydrates, or insulin resistance prevents enough glucose from getting into your cells, you may get very tired after your meals. Every time you feel tired after eating, this activates an inflammatory pathway causing systemic inflammation, promoting leaky gut, and triggering an autoimmune response. This is not good for managing your health condition. To avoid energy crashes after meals, reduce the amount of carbohydrates and portion size until you no longer feel tired after eating. Daily physical exercise is another great way to help reverse high blood sugar and insulin resistance. Supplementing with 500 to 2000 milligrams of berberine at meals can also effectively reduce insulin surges after eating. 4. Remember to hydrate. Many studies have shown dehydration can activate the inflammatory response and impact healthy immune function. We frequently hear about the importance of hydration, yet many people still do not drink enough water. Symptoms of dehydration include fatigue, dark urine and low urine output, constipation, dry skin, decreased skin elasticity, cracked lips, headaches, lightheadedness and dizziness, heart palpitations, low blood pressure, poor concentration, altered mood and mental state. Food cravings are often a disguise for thirst, so stay hydrated and add electrolytes to your water if necessary. People struggling with low cortisol and/or blood pressure may need to add electrolytes. Choose electrolytes that do not contain sugar or artificial sweeteners. Many brands are unsweetened or contain stevia, which is fine for most. Aim for at least 3 to 4 liters of water per day, or about 1 ounce per pound of body weight, and more when you exercise, use a sauna, or are outdoors. Measure your water intake for a while and see whether you need to add more. Sip throughout the day instead of drinking large amounts at once. 5. Eat a variety of vegetables and fermented foods daily to improve gut microbiome diversity. Each microbiotic species in our gut has various enzymes that support different physiological functions, such as converting hormones into active forms, activating nutrients, metabolizing toxins, and producing energy. The more diverse your microbiome, the more physiological resiliency you may develop and the better your shot at recovery. Eating a variety of vegetables is very easy. Visit your local farmer's market or make the produce section of your grocery store your main shopping priority. Vegetables are easy to prepare and can be lightly steamed or boiled, sautéed, roasted, and added to soups and stews. Some people with autoimmunity will need to avoid vegetables such as nightshades or those that contain lectins, as they can be very immune reactive. Fermented foods support a healthy gut microbiome. Foods that are fermented contain bioactive peptides and short sequences of amino acids that can have antioxidant, anti-inflammatory, antimicrobial, and immune-modulating properties. They also contain microbial metabolites that can help digest proteins and produce short-chain fatty acids, vitamins, antioxidants, and antimicrobial substances. They support gut bacteria that have been shown to improve immune health. If you don't normally eat fermented foods, introduce them gradually. Because they can rapidly change bacteria populations, you may experience changes in your bowel movements or experience bloating. Listen to your body when introducing them to find how much you can tolerate without bloating. The more imbalanced your gut microbiome, the more likely you will initially respond negatively to fermented foods. Individuals with healthy microbiome populations typically do not react to a diet high in fermented foods. When not to follow the advice on fermented foods and ample fiber. People with small intestinal bacterial overgrowth or histamine intolerance likely need to avoid fermented foods until they improve those conditions. Too much fiber may also be an issue for those with SIBO or other gut disorders. A common response to fermented foods if you have SIBO is to bloat. Bloating can force open the ileocecal valve between the small and large intestines, allowing bacteria from the large intestine to translocate to the largely sterile environment of the small intestine, causing or worsening SIBO or other gut problems. Therefore, I do not recommend deliberately causing bloating, even if fermented foods are generally considered healthy. A big clue that you have SIBO is that any food that contains fibers or sugars causes immediate bloating, not just fermented foods. People with histamine intolerance react to foods that are fermented, aged, cured, left out too long, or overripe. A small percentage of people have histamine intolerance due to a genetic lack of the enzymes DAO and HNMT. DAO primarily breaks down histamine in the gut, and HNMT degrades histamine primarily in the central nervous system. These people can experience various reactions to fermented foods, including skin rashes, headaches, mood disturbances, runny nose, irregular heartbeat, gut symptoms, flushing, dizziness, or gut symptoms. If you do not have these associated histamine symptoms when you eat fermented foods, you will unlikely have histamine intolerance. In recent years, histamine intolerance has grown very popular, resulting in many misdiagnoses of histamine intolerance. If you do not have histamine intolerance, it's helpful to make your diet as diverse as possible and include foods that histamine intolerant people avoid, such as fermented foods, avocados, and various fruits, meats, and seafood. 6. Remember the basics when managing complex conditions. It's easy to get lost in searches for the most obscure supplements, technical genetic alterations, or dietary rabbit holes, but some of the most profound practices to manage your autoimmune or chronic health condition are also the simplest and most overlooked. I've worked with patients who were spectacular in their compliance with a healing diet and lifestyle, yet still missed these simple basics. Eat sufficient protein, at least 1 g per pound of body weight. Ensure a diversity of essential fatty acids in proper ratios. Keep your blood sugar, and hence your energy, stable throughout the day. Sip 3 to 4 liters of water throughout the day and add electrolytes if necessary. Foster a healthy gut microbiome, but be mindful of SIBO or histamine intolerance. Eat a variety of vegetables and fermented foods. I include many other strategies in my videos, free guides, articles, and online courses, which you can find through drnews.com. Once you have mastered these and the other functional fundamentals, you can move into more specialized strategies. The goal is to personalize a healthcare plan based on your unique needs, triggers, and goals.